Okay, the meeting will come to order. This is Johnson County Board of Adjustment. It's August 19th, 2015. First, we'll do introductions, staff first.
I'm Josh Bussard, Planning and Zoning.
Mitch Brass, Planning and Zoning.
Julia Dodds, Planning and Zoning.
Dave Parsons, Board Member.
Bill Leifus, Board Member.
Randy Lackender, Board Member.
Thank you. Approval of the agenda.
So moved. Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Approval of the July 15th minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Same sign, those against. Okay, conditional use permit number 25974 of Duane and Connie Kunkel. We'll do a staff report first.
And the Kunkels are requesting a conditional use permit for an outdoor boat storage facility. This property is located on the west side of Scales Bend Road, approximately 1.2 miles north of its intersection with Highway 965. And they're asking to renew the conditional use permit that they've gotten for two consecutive years now to operate an outdoor boat storage business on their 12-acre lot. Here is the parcel. It's just located just north of North Liberty. This property is accessed off of Scales Bend Road via Horseshoe Drive with two access points. And according to our ordinance, operation of outdoor boat storage facility is a conditional use in the AR zoning district. And as permitted, applicants have to receive a new permit annually, which is why it's back again this year. And they can store boats between October 1st and May 31st. Storage facilities can house up to 3 boats per acre, and they have to implement some sort of screening. So the property in question is approximately 12.44 acres, which means that they can store a maximum of 37 boats. And they have reported in their application that they plan to operate between 7 a.m. and 9 p.m. and have 2 employees. When they were first issued a conditional use permit for this application, they installed a landscaping buffer to screen the boats from the road. In the past, they had 2 separate locations for storage of boats. This year, they're only going to use one. And because landscaping is only installed on one of those, they cannot store in the north area, which they had asked for in the past. So the place that they've requested to store boats this year is right here. They have a line of bushes along the front of here and a variety of trees that they planted throughout the property to help with some screening. Here is a photograph of the area. Bushes are still pretty young, and they have grass planted where the boats will actually be stored, and a little sign to talk about hours and kind of designate the location. So in conclusion, for the last 2 years, the application has been approved with a variety of contingencies. Those were that the applicant posts the sign stating that there will be no maintenance on the boats, the hours of operation at the restroom is not available for public use, that the applicant states in the contract agreement with customers that no maintenance on boats can occur on site, that the application provides a dust-free surface for the ingress and the egress and the drive areas. The applicant complies with the health department's requirements for wastewater, including not making the restroom available to customers, and they have done that. And that the hours of operations are limited to that reported 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. And staff recommends approval with the same conditions as in the past.
Thank you. Any questions? Have there been any complaints in the last year that we've received from?
Josh Bussard, no. No complaints. One of the conditions you might want to add is that this year that they'll only use the south storage lot until they get approval from us to move into that one.
Thank you.
And these little tiny bushes count as screening.
They'll be there one day.
You've never lived one on
that. Any other questions? Duane or County Kunkel here to say anything, or their representative?
I'm Connie Kunkel,
Step up to the mic, please. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Connie Conkle. I'm just here if you have any questions.
Did you understand what Josh, what the last, what he said about?
Correct, yeah. Okay. They'll only be using that side okay. block this year.
Okay. Any questions? Thank you. Is there anybody else here to speak for or against the application?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
Conditions?
Subject to the current conditions plus the extra one that only the south lot be used. Is that correct?
Yes. Are you okay with that?
Yep. Yep. Okay. Any discussion? Roll call.
Parsons.
Aye.
Lackander.
Yes.
Leifers.
Aye.
Okay, the application has been approved, subject to the conditions. Thank you. Next is various application 25975 Curtis Larson. Staff report.
Yeah, and the applicant is requesting a variance from the side setback regulations in the AA Agricultural Zoning District. And the required side setback is 50 feet, and the applicant is requesting a setback of 12 feet. This property is located on the east side of Curtis Bridge Road, approximately 1,600 feet south of its intersection with Conestoga Trail. And the reason why they're asking for this is they'd like to build a 12 by 30 deck along the south side of the existing house on the property. Here's the location of the property along Curtis Bridge Road, just almost to the end of the road. And this property was created as lot 2 of Warden's subdivision. It's a real small lot, only 0.46 acres, and has an existing home and garage. It's neighbored on three sides by the Corps of Engineers land. And the lot is only 100 feet wide, so with our agricultural zoning setbacks, there's actually no building envelope available on the lot without receiving a variance. So here's a photograph of the lot itself. They're asking for a 12-foot setback here. This is, it's easier to see it there, but this pink area is the proposed deck. And as you can see, the lot's only 100 feet wide. And as I said, that the side setbacks combined with the narrow lot make this lot unbuildable without a permit or without a variance. And this is a residential use, and the applicant is requesting a variant or a setback that's pretty consistent with other residential uses. And in conclusion, the applicant had not claimed a hardship, but staff review did discover that the narrow lot and the large setbacks make the property unbuildable. The board has approved applications very similar to this in the past. And staff doesn't have any concerns that granting this variance will have negative effect to the surrounding property or property owners, and staff recommends approval.
Thank you. Questions?
It looks like the deck is on the side facing the water, is that correct?
Yes. So core land is on these three sides. It's the south, the east, and the west.
Any other questions? Okay. Curtis Larson or his representative like to speak for or against the application, for the application.
I hope so.
I'd like to speak for the application. I'm just here for questions.
Okay, any questions? Okay, is there anybody else here? Thank you. Is there anybody else here who would like to speak for or against the application?
I'll move to approve.
Second.
Okay. Roll call.
Lackander.
Yes.
Parsons.
Aye.
Leifers.
Aye.
Okay, the application is approved.
Thank you.
Next is variance application 25976, Jeffrey Stepanik. Staff.
So the applicant is looking for a front yard setback of 4 feet. The required is 40 feet. There is, I don't know, the confusion or what, but the applicant insists that he actually does have a side yard. That's not the case. so we took the liberty on his application and changed it to a front yard for him. So he's looking for 4 feet in the front yard. The setbacks in the side yards, I believe those are 10 feet. But anyways, it's a front yard, and I'll show you why. It's the side of Valley View Road at an intersection with Creek Road. So it intersects two roads, so it's two front yards. And he is looking to build a 30 by 20 foot freestanding metal yard shed. Essentially, it's just sort of like open air cover or something like that from Menards that you can buy, and he wants to build it to put some boats under it, I believe. So here it is, here's Valley View subdivision, here's his property. And the lot in question was created as lot 32 of Country Estates Edition, back in 62, so this is when we had some really small lots. The original home was built prior to current setback standards, so it was built before we adopted subdivision. And it was built 27 feet from the lot line without a variance. You could do that back then. As I said, it was two front yards. And so here's a picture. So it's kind of hard to see because of all the trees, but here's a road right here, Valley View. And then you can see the street right here. So all this, here's the center line of the street. This is all right away. Here, the red line is the 4 foot setback, and here's the 40. So you can see he has structures that are encroaching into the setback, but they are permitted structures, and so and they're okay right now. The hardship, you know, he does have two front yards and the available building space under the current setback regulations, it's kind of limited. I think his yard is a little sloping, there's lots of trees, you know, it's a smaller lot already. He has some septic system issues to worry about. But despite all that, we do have some concerns regarding the safety of allowing a structure 4 feet from the right-of-way. It is an open-air shed. This is actually a dead-end road. However, it is used. I believe it is it's used for lake access. There is access to another lot, and then there's actually another residence down there. So it's not a complete, you know, unused road. People are using it, but the traffic is fairly light. You know, we've never seen the Board of Adjustment approve a variance this close 4 feet into the front. We're a little worried about the precedent it might set. What if this was on a busier road? But, you know, you do look at each application separately and on the merits of the case and the hardship. You know, applications have been approved for 12 feet. That might be a little more appropriate. The applicant, we asked him, why can't you move it back, you know, another 8-10 feet, and he wants to have it that close. So we told him to go to the Board of Adjustment and see what happens. And staff, we always prefer to keep structures as far away from the road right away as possible. So for really a couple reasons, you know, really there's, you know, traffic on that road. You want to be right up on it. Utilities, and then what if that road is ever improved? But in this case, that's unlikely since it goes to quarter ground, but just for in the future. So, is this a slide? So I guess that being said, the applicant wants 4 feet. Staff would feel more comfortable with 12 feet, but we'll leave it to the board, and you guys should decide this case.
Okay, thank you. Questions?
What level road is that that goes by there?
What level?
Yeah, it's a regular
road. It's a chip sealed road, but it's a chip sealed road.
Okay.
It's a private road. Like I said, it's for lake access, for the core mainly.
You say it's a private road?
There are private roads.
Who owns it?
Subdivision.
Okay.
It's not a county road.
Is there a topographical reason for not to go back 12 foot or setback 8 more foot?
The applicant says that it's too steep. You know, I think that is sort of a little bit debatable, but he wants 4 feet, so, and we've tried to work with him a little bit, and he hasn't indicated he wants to. So he wants to see if this is granted. I guess it's important to say that, you know, generally, since there's only three people, we need three votes. not a majority, so we do need three votes. So if, I think we would probably, I don't know if the applicant is here.
He's here.
Okay, then maybe you want to, if the board is willing, you guys can conduct a straw poll and see what happens. And then he can defer and wait for a full board if he likes.
Thank you. Any other questions?
You make reference to unavoidable circumstances. What's an example of that?
What now?
Right-of-way.
Oh, like, so, for instance, right-of-way dedication, anything like that. But it's a private road, so it's, generally, I think staff is more concerned about, you know, really the precedence that this might set. You know, we get really leery whenever we have buildings this close to the right-of-way. But, you know, there are lots of mitigating factors in this case. Instead of, it's private road, it's probably not gonna change the character or be any real safety hazard, but.
Okay, thank you. Any questions, questions of staff? Mr. Stepanek here to speak for the application?
Yes.
Do you have any, anything to add, or?
The only thing that I can add is it's a very private dead-end road, and their road easement is 25 feet. The actual developed road is less than half of that. So I'll be, at 4 foot, I'll be roughly 16 feet from the developed edge of the road. And I don't see any future development on that dead-end portion of the road. We're in a private addition. The road is maintained by the Road Association. Their guidelines are a 3-foot setback from the finished road. And at the 4-foot setback from my property line, that would be roughly 16 feet from the edge of the developed edge of the road. And when the roads were put in, they placed the roads to allow for trees, so they didn't cut down the trees. Some of the adjacent neighbors, their buildings are right on the corner of their property line. I just would like to be as close to the line as I can get to permit easy access to the facility. And if I go deeper into my yard, it'll be over my septic field.
Your septic field is just south of the proposed, I'm assuming that's south?
Yes, south and west, yes.
Any questions? Thank you. Is there anybody else here to speak for or against the application?
I'll speak for.
Okay. State your name and address.
My name is Susan Stepanek. I'm his wife. And it looks like we're basically on two dead-end roads. And like my husband was saying, they built the houses in amongst the trees. So, I mean, we have houses in our neighborhood that are only 10 feet back from the finished road. So it's just, it's a unique situation, that's for sure.
It wouldn't be setting any precedent.
It wouldn't be setting any precedents. And I think we enclosed pictures, you know, with our information that kind of shows all our neighbors and everything where they're at. And we're fine with what they got going. It's just, we've got a lot of trees on our property. And if we try to bring it back much farther, we'll be into our house and into having those huge oak trees that are over 100 years old. And if we go the opposite direction, we're on a hill and over a septic. So that's why we really would like to have it where it is.
There would be no future houses built towards the west?
Oh my gosh, no. Okay. There won't be anything built
no way
around
built
here.
There.
Okay. The traffic that goes up and down to that river is people on their quads that are in the immediate neighborhood that go down and get on their boats in the harbor down below. And there's 4 boats down there. So we're not talking about a tremendous amount of traffic at all. It's 4 boats, including us. they could use that keel. And it's the, with our whole backyard is a core property, you know, and then the road is a private road owned by an addition. And they require 3 foot back, you know, from the side of the finished road. And we did bring that information if you need it, that that's the only thing that they require.
Thank you. Any other questions of Mrs. Stefani? Okay, is there anybody else here to speak for or against the application? Your name and address?
Scott Ritter, Harper Consultants, 5060 James Avenue. I was on vacation when this came about to our office. And through a phone call, you know, they were trying to explain it to me. And they said the front of the house faced to the east. And I said, well, the front setback, you know, I didn't know about the road at the time. We produced a drawing that showed a 10-foot setback on that side. But as Josh pointed out, it is a platted road. It just accesses the core ground, basically, and property more. You know, I don't know if you have that drawing in front of you.
Okay, any questions? Does anybody want to see that drawing? She's got a copy if anybody wants
sure.
to see it.
Josh, the diagram I'm looking at shows that the driveway extends well past the lot line even. Is that possible?
That's okay. You can, it's thank in the right-of-way, but that's, no, everybody's driveway extends into the right-of-way.
Does it?
Yeah. Unless
and the other houses or structures she was referring to that are similarly close to the lot line, are they not in compliance?
No, they're in compliance. This is an old subdivision, and it was planted with small lots. And the houses were built before we had the current setback standards.
So do you think, do you agree that some of those are equally close to the
yes,
right way?
Yes, very. Yes, definitely agree.
Any other questions? Anybody else here to speak for or against the application? Okay, we have three here out of five. It takes three, regardless of how many are here, to vote for or against an application. So we'll discuss this and then take a poll and determine whether or not there would be three of us that would vote for the application. If not, you can extend that to next month. Hopefully there's usually five people here. So
I do have an aerial view of it to show some of the other buildings.
Oh, sure, yeah, that'd be good.
The proximity to the road. Here is roughly where we want to add the building.
This is the
north would be this
right.
way.
Right.
This guy's garage is right on his corner of his property. And his house is almost on the easement.
Well, most of the time people's driveways do go into the...
To the road, yeah.
To the road, but over an easement. So...
But see, they didn't develop the whole road into the whole easement.
Yeah.
So it...
We really need you to be on the mic up there.
Okay.
So if you've got anything to say, if you're done, it's fine.
What's your any indication, or is there a
this is about as close to a coin flip as I get, but I'm inclined to approve.
The reason being is they are in a unique situation in the area they're at on a dead end road. In that area, I don't see future development than one they're going to hurt. So,
I agree.
Either. Okay, I would agree with that. So, roll call.
You want a motion?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. We don't
I'll make a details. Motion to approve 25976.
Second.
Can you make it clear that it's for a 4 foot front yard
setback?
Yes.
Or motion would be for 4 foot yard or 4 foot front yard setback.
Okay. Is there any reason we need that? It's in the application, right?
No, because I just made the change on the application. I just want to make it clear.
All right. Okay, we have a motion and a second.
You do.
Roll call.
Parsons.
Aye.
Lackander.
Yes.
Leifers.
Yes. Okay, the application is approved.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, last application is variance application 25977, Morris Miller.
So, Mr. Miller, he's looking for a variance from the setbacks required between the establishment of any commercial ag zoning district and an existing residence. And essentially, so in the commercial ag district, it's a zoning district that's really not used very often. It's relatively newly created district, I think, in the 90s. And that's for to, and the district is created to allow for agricultural-related businesses to be located in the non-growth areas and the non-economic development areas, like what Mr. Miller is doing, as you'll find out. And part of that zoning district, it says that the district that you have to have between the boundaries of the district, 500 feet from any existing residence and residential area. Well, that's quite a tall order. And actually, this is on the applicant's property, and his house is within 140 feet, 48 feet from the area that's going to be zoned commercial ag. Therefore, he'd like to vary the required 500 feet setback to 148 feet. It's on the west side of Blackender Road, 1,200 feet north of Meyertown. And the reason, and I'll get into the reason here. So here is his farm right here. So you can see this area is actually zoned residential. And here is the area that he has right now. And this is the boundary of the zoning district to which he wishes to apply for, and he's in the initial steps of that. But the first step is receiving this variance. And I think we have another picture of, here's his house. So what's going on right now in this shed? He's operating a milk hauling business. So he had approximately 6 employees, and he's really no longer, he was never approved to have a home business, but now with 6 employees and the size of his operation, he's not up to this. It's the, his milk hauling business, 200 plus farmers depend on him. And I think that his rezoning application definitely, I think it has merit. The staff is going to support his rezoning application. So therefore, this is, why we're going forward with this variance. So in the hardship, so basically if the 500-foot setback was not required by the ordinance, we wouldn't be here, we could go forward. I don't know why it's there, it's kind of weird. No one really even knew about it until we actually, sat down and read the text of the zoning code and we're like, oh, that's definitely gonna be an issue. And, if I had a magic, I could just, on my own, I'd strike it. I'm sure there's other people who feel the same way, but regardless, it's there, it's law. And we need to figure out how to go forward. So again, this variance. So the proposed use is agriculturally related. Do we think it fits the current character of the area? So really don't worry about, if granting this variance or not is going to negatively impact the surrounding area or the neighbors. And also, this is just the variance. The zoning is going to also have 2 public hearings, and the zoning is going to determine the use. So there'll be much more conversation about if it's appropriate or not, and that decision is more for the Board of Supervisors, not for you. We're just looking at the variance to sort of set the groundwork for the application. So in conclusion, we recommend approval. We want to remind the applicant that the shed and milk hauling business needs to be in compliance with the Unified Development Ordinance, and that he must rezone the one acre from residential and agricultural to commercial ag. And downzone the rest of the area. And then he needs to subdivide. And then he also has a few building permit issues, which are a mistake on his part. He readily admitted. He may or may not have got some bad information from our office in 2010, but he's working with us to get that resolved and he's going to work. So that being said, staff is recommending approval. I don't think these do not need to be conditions, because if he doesn't complete that, then variance is going to die anyway.
Questions?
Yes.
Is there anybody here to speak for or against the application? Excuse me.
Scott Ritter again. Yeah, like Josh said, if this is approved tonight, we have downzoning, rezoning, and the future subdivision, which I've already done, Morris the Milkman subdivision. So, here to answer any questions you may have.
What caused this all to come about?
I think when Josh reported, he probably came to, did he come to you about anything?
It was a neighbor complaint.
Oh, okay.
So.
Because he's been doing this for about 20 years.
Yeah. And like Josh says, he does serve a lot of milk farmers around the area.
And he understands and he's been cooperative.
Yes.
Any other questions? Anybody else here to speak for or against the application? Is there a motion?
Make a motion to approve 25977.
Second.
Okay, discussion. Roll call.
Blackender.
Yes.
Parsons.
Aye.
Lee Firth.
Aye. Okay, the application is approved.
Thank you very much.
Is there an adjournment?
You're welcome. Motion to adjourn.
Do a second. Want to vote on that one?
No.
Yes?
Name.
Okay. Thank you.
So how serious is Dottie's, what did she do to herself?
Broken ribs or something.
She fell.
Didn't she had something else before, or is that just the recurrence of that?
No, she fell and, yeah, she fell and hit her head and got a concussion and broke two ribs.
Yeah, she, you have to take it easy, I guess.
Yeah, none of us are getting any younger.
Yeah.